By way of introduction, I would like to read to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And I'll begin reading at verse 6 before we get to the book of John. And it says in Isaiah 55, 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Don't you like those words, abundantly pardon? "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." Shall we stand together? John chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. And it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Isaiah said, "My word shall not return unto me void." And Jesus said that if they do not believe on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to open it up and to read your thoughts and your desires. And may this morning service be a blessing and of encouragement to the believer. And if there is one here today, Lord, that has never accepted thee as Savior, may they be willing to turn their heart over to you, believing on Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, in the book of John, chapter 4, we'll begin reading the first 5 verses. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. For you that have attended a Bible preaching church, you probably have heard that during the biblical time of Jesus' day, those people who lived in Samaria were outcasts. If you lived in Judea, which was south of Samaria, and you wanted to go to Galilee, if you were a Jew, you would not go through Samaria, even though it was the direct route. You would cross the Jordan River, you would go up on the east side of the Jordan River, then cross back over into Galilee, because you did not want to do anything with the Samaritans. In fact, if the wind blew in such a direction that the wind was coming across Samaria and it was blowing south into Judea, or if it was blowing north into Galilee, those Jews would feel unclean and they would go and bathe themselves because they didn't know what was blown from Samaria into their areas. You talk about cooties. That's how prejudiced they were against the Samaritans. And so when Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, you can only imagine what his 12 disciples would have thought. But according to Genesis chapter 33, verses 18 through 20, Jacob bought a piece of ground for 100 pieces of money, where he erected an altar to God, naming it Elohim Israel, meaning God, the God of Israel. And it was at this place that Jesus was headed. Of note, we may notice that in John chapter 3, we have a Jewish Pharisee coming to Jesus. And we will find here in John chapter 4 that Jesus goes to a Samaritan woman. May I say this, that all men and all women need Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is not a plan B or C to get someone into heaven. There is only plan A, and that plan A is Jesus Christ, for he is the door. Jesus said, I am the way. He did not say, I am a way, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by him. The verse that some would say is the key verse of chapter 4 is verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. That there is a need, and we'll see that shortly. We remember that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered unclean as they were part Jewish and part Gentile. But Jesus must needs go through Samaria. You say, Pastor Paul, why? Why must he go? Because there was a woman who needed what he could only give. He could give her hope. He could give her security. He could give her salvation. And in the United States of America, we need that hope. May I say this, that those men and women who are running for the presidency of our great country are not going to give us the hope that Jesus Christ can give us. And may I say this, that if we raise the minimum wage not to $15 an hour, but to $25 an hour. Oh, that may make us feel good for a while, but it does not really give us hope. We can give free college education to those desiring it. Will it really give eternal hope? It will not. Eternal hope only comes through Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading at verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I would like you in your mind's eye to see Jesus traveling not across the Jordan River and up the east side of the Jordan River, but going from Judea directly through Samaria to Galilee. I would like you to see as the 12 disciples are talking to themselves, and though this is not recorded in the Word of God, I can, in my own eye, see the 12 of them saying, what are we doing here? Man, this is uncomfortable. I mean, we are a group of 13, and there had been at least 13 of them, if not more. This is uncomfortable to be traveling through Samaria. Are we safe? It's noon. Now, it says it's the sixth hour, but you have to remember that the Jews at that time began their day at 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's 12 o'clock noon. It's the hottest time of the day there in Samaria. And here they are getting to this city. Now, what do we normally do around 12 o'clock? Eat. That's why Sundays can be so rough, right? Because the sermon and whatnot is going to end around noon, and we all have to be polite going out, and we're hungry, and we're thinking, where are we going to eat? And the pastor kept this 10 minutes later, and we're going to be late, and the Methodists are going to beat us to the restaurant. Now, believe me, I know that at 10 minutes to 12, I lose some of you. You're thinking, what are we going to do for lunch? Well, these men were hungry because they were men. And may I say this, there were no McDonald's along the way. There were no Burger Kings, and thank God there were no Taco Bells. You know what we find? That as they traveled, they either took the food with them or they'd have to wait till they got to the next village or city. And so they come into this city, and Jesus is weary. See, it shows his humanity. He came and lived as a man, though he was still God. The disciples have gone to buy meat. Now, I don't know what they were going to get. I know it wasn't pork. But it could have been, you know, some beef or maybe some lamb. We're not sure. But they had gone to buy something. And Jesus is sitting at the well, waiting. And he's waiting for a woman. He's waiting for not just any woman, but this woman. This Samaritan that has had less than an honorable reputation. You say, Pastor Paul, how do you know that she had a less than honorable reputation? Because she was there at noon, and the rest of the women would have been there at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Or they would have come later in the day. They would not have gone to fetch water at the hottest part of the day. She has come at this time of the day so that she will not run into any of the women of the city. That there would be no hassling of her. There would be no trash talking. There would be no into windows. There would be no insults, no cold shoulders. She was not expecting anybody to be there, and she is surprised when there is not only a man there, but a Jewish man, and a Jewish man that's going to talk to her. He says to her, "Give me to drink." Now, he's not being rude. This would have been customary, that the person getting water would give it to someone who was asking. Water is precious. Water is precious. And some of you, we probably need to drink more water, don't we? But this woman is probably shocked. This is a Jewish male talking to her. And as we read there in verse 9, she says, "How is it you deal with or talk to me when the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans?" She's probably just as flabbergasted that he is there that he would ask for water. But Jesus looked beyond her heritage. Jesus looked beyond her marriage history. And if you know the story, you know that she had been married how many times? 5 times. And the man she was living with now was not her husband. He looked beyond her immoral habits, because he saw her future. Jesus sees your future. Jesus is concerned about your spiritual need. Let's begin reading at verse 10. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God," and aren't you glad that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you know Christ? The missionary came back with the video of the little children wanting to know how long she had known about Jesus Christ. You know, if you know Jesus, we should be willing to share Jesus. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto her, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? What is the answer to that? Yes, he's far greater than Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. We find that in our lives there is the need for physical water. Don't you like water? What if I began drinking this water right in front of you? Some of you would say, oh man, I'd like some of that. Well, that's all right. I only have a few floaties in here. That's physical water. May I say this? I have nothing against the people in Flint, but I'm sure glad I don't live there now. Why? Because good water is precious. But then there is spiritual water. The water that Jesus Christ offers to the spiritual needs of individuals. And Jesus saw her need, that she needed a Savior. That she needed someone to pardon her of her sins. And Jesus is the one. Let us begin reading at verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sure, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Go call your husband. May I say this? It's important that our family know Jesus Christ the Savior. The greatest gift I ever gave to my sons was the ability to know Jesus Christ. The fact that I brought them to a gospel preaching church, that they were under the tutelage of Christian teachers that taught them in Sunday school, and that they were under the ministry of a gospel preaching pastor, that is the greatest gift I ever gave my children. Yes, they went to a private school, and yes, they went to college, and yes, they had different things, but the greatest gift I gave them was not being a Red Wing fan or a U of M fan, but that of knowing Jesus Christ the Savior. That's the greatest gift. Go tell, call your husband. He needs to hear this also. I have no husband. She had had five, and now was living in sin. But may I say this, that there are some people that though they may have never lived in adultery, and though they may have never been unfaithful in any way to their mate, they may have never cussed, they may never have stolen, they still have all sinned. Because our thought life condemns us. My wife and I were traveling back from Grand Rapids yesterday, and we were talking briefly about what she is going to be teaching on Tuesday. And you know how conversations, they just kind of weave around things. And we began to talk about making sure that we're not jealous. How many of you are grandparents? You know, sometimes it's hard not to be jealous of the other grandparents. Okay, sometimes it's hard for me. You know, you don't want to be jealous. You want your grandkids to love you more. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Our thought life. How many of you have ever gone to Kroger's or wherever you may buy your groceries and you've gotten in the wrong line? and you're watching that line over there, and you say, oh, I should have been in that one. Why is my cashier so slow? Now, I hope none of you are cashiers. But have you ever gotten a bad attitude because the other line got out before you did? Be honest, come on. None of you have ever said, well, I'm glad I'm still here in the line and they're gone. Yes. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Go call your husband. Let's begin reading at verse 24. The conversation has continued, but for sake of time, we'll move along. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. I have come on purpose to you because you need a Savior. Jesus came to earth not so that we give Christmas gifts, not so that we have Easter bunnies. He came to save our souls, to pardon our sins, for he is the great Redeemer. Verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to who? To the men. You know, maybe she was a beautiful woman and she had been flirtatious and she knew how to attract men. She went to the men. Maybe she knew where they were working. Maybe she knew where they could be found. But she goes to them and she says, you've got to come. You've got to come see this man. It says in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there is yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. May I say this? Men and women are dying today, and so many of them know not of Jesus Christ the Savior. You say to yourself, oh, I've got plenty of time. I'm a young person. Pastor Greg Hayward stopped by the church the other day, pastor of the Gideon Baptist Church in Warren. And we're sitting back here in the office, and he begins to talk to me. And he said, did you hear about the young man, 15 years old, that died the other day? He went over to one of these bounce houses. You've probably heard of them. He was a diver at his high school. He was a diver. So you would think if anybody knew how to jump around in a bounce house, it would be a 15-year-old diver. Wouldn't you think that? Broke his neck. On Good Friday, he was dead. Good Friday. You say, I have plenty of time. He was a 15-year-old boy. Do you think he thought he was going to die that day? He didn't think he was going to die. Folks, we all know of young people who die. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. The field is wide unto harvest. There are men and women, teenagers that are dying daily. And our society thinks, well, all we need to do is give them an education and give them the ability to make money, and that's all they need. That's not all they need, folks. I'm going to tell you this. What made America great was not that we became a wealthy nation. What made America great was that we were a nation that wanted to propagate the cause of Christ. And that's what we need today, is to look unto the harvest and see that they are ready to be reaped. Notice what it says there in verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already the harvest. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So then the Samaritans were come unto him. They besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. The Bible tells us that one planteth and another watereth, but God giveth the increase. What is the most important part of that equation? Is that one planted? One planted. There can never be an increase if nothing has been planted. So there must be a planting and then a watering so then that God can give the increase. We need to remember that not only is it important that there is a harvest, there's important that there is a planting season. Let's stand together if you would please. And before we have the Lord's Supper in a little bit, we'd like to give you the opportunity to come to the altar and to pray. Maybe you'd like to come and just pray, Lord, I need to be planting more. Maybe you need to come and simply ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I mean, you've had religion. Do you have Christ? You live in the greatest nation on earth, probably in all time. But that won't get you into heaven. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Works won't get you into heaven. Baptism won't get you into heaven. Only Jesus Christ can get you into heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask the Lord now that you would bless it. We ask that the Spirit would move. And Lord, even as this woman saw her need, may we also see our need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.